Okay, hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Innovation in Education. This is Kevin Hogan reporting from ISTE Live 2022 in New Orleans. Our musical introduction comes from the legendary New Orleans trumpeter Kermit Ruffins, who welcomed in attendees to the first post-pandemic in-person ISTE event. There are at least 15,000 EdTech geeks here walking the show floors, attending sessions, and more than a few parties. It's just great to be back, and that vibe is reflected in all the conversations and talk I had through this first day. But there's something different going on than there has been in the past 16 years that I've been covering this event. Listen to Richard Collada, CEO of ISTE, describe his intentions of what this year's ISTE is going to be about.
Really concerned that we've just beaten the joy out of learning in the last couple of years. And you can't have effective learning, especially in a year where we need to really make up for some kind of tough times. You can't do that if there isn't joy. And so we're just trying to infuse stuff, joy, inspire it in every possible way that we can. Hopefully you saw that. Many of you came to our main stage program yesterday and saw that was a key theme, and we'll continue to do that. Another theme though that you're gonna see today, which is gonna be a little bit different, is the idea of civility and bringing civility and kindness and understanding into education. We've seen education as a field sort of become more and more divisive over the last year or so than I've ever seen it in the many years that I've worked in different roles from White House to state to district to university level. And so we'll be talking a lot about that. It's okay to disagree, right? We're not saying everybody has to agree, but we have to be able to understand that we can disagree about things. In fact, you need to disagree. It's how you learn, right? You learn things when you have ideas that conflict with yours, but we have to be able to do that in a way that's kind and civil. We have to model that for kids.
So for an event that is usually very technology forward, this year it seems it's more about how the idea of tech can be used to convey empathy for students. That theme was reflected again in the morning keynote by Taryn Southern. She is a storyteller, digital anthropologist, and media consultant who explores the intersection of emerging technology and human potential. An early YouTube content creator, Southern has been a host and correspondent and producer for numerous networks, including Discovery Channel, NBC, MTV, and VH1. And she's produced content and campaigns for brands like Condé Nast, IBM, and Marriott. Have a listen to some of the ideas that she was sharing.
This can't go without saying. We don't have to look too far to see the potential risks of all of this technology. And it's equally important as we experiment with these technologies and infuse them with creativity that the implications of them are discussed in the classroom. But I believe that experimentation is key to understanding, and this young generation of technology adopters will absolutely be the ones guiding us forward. And if we zoom out to the last 200,000 or so years since humans have been in existence and look at our creative progress over time, it's likely that we will continue to evolve at a very, very rapid pace. I mean, just think about how much we've changed in the past 30 years. We went from bulky TVs to flat screens to VR, big block cell phones to flip phones to smartphones, dial-up modems to Ethernet to wireless. I don't think it's that far off to say that in the near future, we'll be able to listen to music tailored specifically to our cognitive and emotional needs. We'll be able to put ourselves inside a storyline designed to help us respond better emotionally to our own personal situations. Perhaps even our clothes will be designed to respond to immune system distress to help us sleep and focus better. So the technologies that will be at our disposal for creativity and storytelling will be endless. And they won't just change the game for creativity.
So all these ideas surrounding social-emotional learning are nice, but how do they work in the real world in the day-to-day operation of schools? I posed that question to Aperture Education's Chief Executive Officer, Jessica Adamson. Aperture looks at SEL assessment, they call it DESA, and that provides data to help schools and out-of-school time organizations better understand students' social and emotional skills and needs. The company has served more than 2 million students and 128,000 educators in over 800 school districts. Here's her response.
I think we're going to see a lot more focus on social emotional learning, but I think there's going to be a lot more intentionality about being careful about the language that we use, about bringing parents into the conversation. I'm a little worried about for the next couple of years, with as much money as around, that we're going to see a lot of adoption of programs that don't have evidence. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really good SEL programs and SEL assessments that have for years been establishing their evidence basis, but there's a lot of really new stuff that haven't had the opportunity to do that, or things that are being developed by people that don't have the background to develop and make the claims that they're making. And I worry about the impact of that on schools and the amount of energy that schools put into this when they don't have a lot of energy. We all know teachers are burnt out, right? So I'm concerned about